From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Explaining the events in the aftermath of September 11th, 2001 was incredibly challenging, especially when talking about it with young people. 22 years later, this generation's elementary, middle, and high school students have no firsthand memories of 9/11, and the same even goes now for people in college. For educators, figuring out how to teach 9/11 can be difficult. With few official guidelines in place, teachers are working to help students understand how a series of events shaped the world as they know it today. But events they ultimately won't remember, but most of us will never forget. Well, a school in Central Illinois has worked to bridge that gap by having students interview local people with firsthand memories of 9/11. One worked in the White House, some were in the military, and others were Muslims trying to live their lives in a country that had suddenly grown suspicious of anyone who even looked like they might be from the Middle East.
And they said, "We have an incoming aircraft, ETA 90 seconds. So then I'm thinking about family, and I'm thinking, well, I guess this is how it ends.
Everyone got put on alert. They pulled all of us out in formation in the pitch black and basically told us that the United States was under attack. And it was most definitely a game-changing moment for anyone in the military at that time.
My sister in high school, when she first entered high school, a teacher told her to take off her headscarf.
And before you boarded the aircraft, we were actually taken aside into a separate room, searched. And I'm talking about take your shirts off, take your pants off, full search.
Those are just some of the voices the students collected in the last few years. Their work has been gathered into a podcast, 800 Miles from Ground Zero, 9/11's Impact on Central Illinois. It's a production of the University Laboratory High School in Urbana, along with our home station, Illinois Public Media. Joining us to talk about this is Melissa Shepline, executive teacher in social studies at the University Laboratory High School in Urbana. Melissa, welcome back to the 21st Show. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Brian.
We're also joined by two students who worked with her on this project. Maya Vishwanathan is a senior at Uni High and was an intern on the project working on the pre-interview stage. Maya, thank you for taking time away from school to be with us today.
Thank you.
Also here with us is Simra Khan, a sophomore at Uni High. She was an eighth grader when the project started and participated in one of the interviews. Welcome to you as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And finally, we're joined by my Illinois Public Media colleague, Kimberly Kranick, who is Director of Community Content and Engagement. I like to think of her role as making sure we keep the public involved in making public radio. Kimberly, welcome to you as well.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Good to be here.
Listeners, if you want to join our conversation today, if you want to share your memories of 9/11 and how you've tried to pass those on to the younger generations who do not remember it themselves, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. 800-222-9455. All right, Melissa, I'm going to begin with you. Where were you on 9/11? What are your memories of that day?
I was 24 years old, and I was in graduate school in Providence, Rhode Island. I remember waking up that morning and turning on the television, which was not a part of my normal morning routine. But like a lot of Americans, they newscasters were already reporting about the first plane, but they didn't realize what was going on. They thought it might be an accident or a pilot error. And then, like a lot of Americans, I did watch live on television the second plane hitting the second tower.
Yeah, I remember that initial thought. What is it, a Cessna? Is this an accident? That seems wildly unlikely. But Kimberly, what about you? What are your memories of that day?
Yeah, I was right here at WILL, Illinois Public Media, and we heard that there was this plane that hit. And so we went down to the conference room right here at the station, and we turned on CNN, and we were listening and watching. And one thing I'll never forget is they had someone on the above where the plane had hit, and they were talking to them live on the phone. And then later that tower fell, and I knew that person that they had just listened to had not made it.
Wow. Maya, I want to bring you into the conversation now. What did you understand about 9/11 before you started work on this project?
I think I knew some of the facts about 9/11, what I read in books about the events and what led up to it, but I also knew my family's personal stories about what their experience was on that day, but I didn't know as many personal stories about people that were in the military or were in Washington, D.C. on that day, or in New York on that day, as I got to learn through the interviews. And so that really made me understand more about what people's experiences were like on that day and the details.
Yeah. Simra, what about you? And I wonder if you have, I know obviously you don't have firsthand experiences of that day, but if there's a family story that's been passed down to you.
Yeah, so I have been told personal stories about where my parents were, where my other family members were during 9/11, but obviously I wasn't alive during that time. My parents were in India when it happened. They weren't here in the U.S., so they saw it on the news. It was impactful. My uncle was in Rochester, New York, and he talked about, you know, seeing it on the news and being impacted by that as well. In fifth grade, I remember on this day, we watched footage of the plane hitting the two towers, and we talked about all that stipulated stuff like that. And I didn't know much about, you know, 9/11 before I did this project, but I think it really helped me understand more about it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the project then. And Melissa Shepline, you are the teacher, social studies, executive teacher in social studies at Uni High. How did this oral history project come about?
So the oral history project has been going on as a partnership with WILL for actually 20 years in different formats. Every school year, as part of my eighth grade social studies curriculum, we choose a different topic to explore. And when I say we, it's actually me and some older students who have decided to stay involved in the production aspect of the project. And so that summer, 2 years ago, going into fall of 2021, we were thinking about what would be a good topic. And we knew from the news that the United States was going to be pulling out of Afghanistan at the end of August. And indeed, that ended up being a major news story the first 2 weeks of school. And September 11th just seemed like a really rich topic. My class is called Introduction to Social Studies. And in addition to doing the interviews, we do a pretty big background unit on the topic. And so I knew that this topic would allow us to explore things such as geography, religion, politics, U.S. government, international relations. And it did, I think, end up being a great project. Simra was actually, she's a 10th grader now, but she was an 8th grader at the time and was a part of that class that did the project.
Well, Simra, how about that? I don't know, maybe I was going to ask what made you want to get involved in this, but maybe you didn't have a choice since it was in your class.
Yeah.
But talk about your involvement, and maybe you probably, I don't know, did you go above and beyond? How did you become so engaged with this?
Yeah, so as an 8th grader, our class was required to do an oral history project. We had to, you know, do a research unit. We had to give a presentation about what we learned. We had to prepare questions for our interviewee. So I was kind of required to do it. And I really, really enjoyed it. I wouldn't say I went above and beyond, but I did do a lot of research. I did, you know, I was, during my, like, role at WILL, I was the person that actually interviewed my interviewee. So I, you know, I really enjoyed that. And I think what brought me to continuing this was, you know, the level of civic engagement I got and how much I learned, and also, you know, the interpersonal skills I gained. And I just gained a new level of understanding by interviewing people with, like, different perspectives than I would, rather than, like, what I would get by just reading the news.
So. Maya, what about you? Talk about how you got involved in this.
So when I was in eighth grade, right before we were going to do the project, we went remote because of COVID. So I never got to do the project in eighth grade. But I heard a lot about it, and I was really excited to do it. And so afterwards, when we came back, I got involved as an intern to pre-interview interviewees, and I worked on this project. I was really interested in getting to interview people. I think all the stories that I've heard from people I've pre-interviewed have been really fascinating, and it's a really different experience than just, like Simra said, reading in the news or reading from a book.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So, okay, let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about a new podcast mini series from the University Lab High School in Urbana and Illinois Public Media. It is called I have the title here. It is called 800 Miles from Ground Zero, 9/11's Impact on Central Illinois. We're talking about this with a teacher who's been involved in the project, two students who worked on it, as well as our director of community content engagement at Illinois Public Media. Let's listen to a clip. We should get a sense of how these interviews actually came together, how they sounded. This one is from Jeff Brown, who is the dean at the Geese College of Business at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, but he was working at the White House during the events of 9/11.
As I walked up to the southwest gate of the White House, the Secret Service agent that was closest to me was having a conversation with the Secret Service guard in the gate that I just exited from. And they said, we have an incoming aircraft, ETA 90 seconds. And I have to admit, at that point, time slowed down. It was like fight or flight mode. I looked around and I was thinking, I can't get away from here. Like, I would have to wind my way back through that security gate. Like, 90 seconds is not enough time to do anything. So then I'm thinking about family and I'm thinking, well, I guess this is how it ends. But less than 90 seconds later, that turned out to be the flight that hit the Pentagon. I think I was primarily in a massive adrenaline rush for most of the day, just trying to think about, what do I do next? How do I help people? How do I get to safety? But then I think once that adrenaline rush left and I was home, you know, I'm not ashamed to say I kind of fell apart, right? It was a pretty traumatic experience.
Melissa, the podcast is divided into four, or the series is divided into four individual episodes, 7:46 CST, the time of the first planes striking the World Trade Center, the sort of immediate reaction. There's another episode on war and protest after 9/11, another one looking at liberty and security, and then the final episode looks at the experiences of Muslim Americans. Whispering Assalamu Alaikum is the title of that. Talk about how you organized the work, the interviews over the years with all these students.
Sure. So when we're putting the project together, and having students like Maya do pre-interviews to try to find people in the community, one of my goals is to always try to find people that have different perspectives of whatever event we're looking at, so that the students can understand that there are multiple narratives about an event in history and that there's multiple perspectives, and it's a lot more complicated than they may realize. And so we are very intentional about seeking out different people with different perspectives for the project. The actual putting together of the episodes happens in the second year of the project after we've conducted all the interviews. We put together a production team of students and they listen to the interviews and they read the transcripts and identify what they think are really important stories or key moments from the interviews. And we look for themes. And so from that, we decided to come up with the four podcasts that we ended up with in the end. So then we launch into a script writing stage where we have to also write some narration to provide some context to the interviews. And that's really when we work closely with Kimberly, because she provides a lot of mentorship to the students during that process. We've created audio drafts before so we can listen to how it sounds before we do the final cut and final editing to put the podcast together.
Kimberly, talk about that. You're used to working with, a team of great professionals at Illinois Public Media. How do you then turn around and take that experience and work with people who are new to our medium?
Yeah, so first of all, it's awesome. I'm so grateful for this partnership. And as Melissa said, so they really do a good job of researching this and deciding what they want to talk about. And I actually work with a very small number of students, those who become the ones who really work, maybe three or four work with me to get the turn the oral histories into that script, into something that we can showcase to the community. Because the great thing about this project is it features the local voices, right? And you know, I've been here since, you know, 98. So I've been around. I can sometimes help with sources. Like, I knew a lot of the folks who did the anti-war protests, afraid of bombing Iraq, bombing Afghanistan. So some of the ways I can know is I can guide them to sources. I really do, though, treat them like I would treat most persons I was helping edit into a final form. And so we talk, we discuss. I ask them, what is their goal for this episode? What's your elevator pitch? How do you want the listener to feel afterwards? What about that? Can you add some natural sound here? Or, you know, this part maybe is a little clunky. How do we take this, 25 minutes and maybe get it down to 12 minutes? So I'm working with them all along, and it's a very collaborative process, and I try to keep the control in the hands of the students, and just as I know our audience, try to make sure that they are thinking about our audience while they're being true to the material that they gathered from the folks who became subjects for this project.
Interesting. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue this conversation. We're talking with Kimberly Cronick, who is with Illinois Public Media, our Director of Community Content and Engagement, as well as three people from the University Lab High School in Urbana. Melissa Shepline is a social studies executive teacher, and two students. Maya Viswanathan is a senior at Uni High, and Simra Khan is a sophomore at Uni High. They both worked on this podcast mini-series about 9/11. It is called 800 Miles from Ground Zero. We're going to continue our conversation when we return. This is The 21st Show. Please stay with us. It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. 22 years ago today were the attacks of September 11th, 2001. Nearly 3,000 Americans lost their lives, and many more had their lives upended. Members of the military were deployed overseas for many years after that in Iraq and Afghanistan. Afghanistan first, of course, then Iraq. Muslim Americans here back home were subject to all kinds of additional scrutiny, both formally from the government and informally in their communities. All of this, the panoply of experiences of 9/11 from the perspective here in Central Illinois, have all been documented in a podcast miniseries created by students at the University Lab High School in Urbana. The series is called 800 Miles from Ground Zero, 9/11's Impact on Central Illinois. Let's listen to another clip from that series. This one is from an individual named Amar Bhutta, who is an immigrant from Pakistan and is presently a professor at Eastern Illinois University.
If you were from a certain country, which I was not a U.S. citizen at that time, if you were male between the ages of, I think, 18 and 50, you had to go register, get clearance from the federal government to actually board the aircraft, in addition to everything else that was being done. And before you boarded the aircraft, we were actually taken aside into a separate room, searched, and I'm talking about take your shirts off, take your pants off, full search, empty your pockets, empty your wallets, then allowed to sit in, but not allowed to select a seat in the aircraft, or one will be allocated to you. You get a boarding card, you walk into the airplane, your seat allocation is all the way in the back, and you look around, everyone in the back looks like you. So it was one of those experiences that really jolted all of us.
All right, we are talking about this. That, again, was an excerpt from the podcast miniseries called 800 Miles from Ground Zero. We're talking about this with Melissa Shepline, who is a teacher in social studies at Uni High, who has led this oral history project. Kimberly Cronick, who is director of community content and engagement at Illinois Public Media, which collaborated with the students on this project, and two students who worked on it. Maya Viswanathan is a senior at Uni High and was an intern on the project, worked on the pre-interview stage, and Simra Khan is a sophomore at Uni High. She was an eighth grader when the project started and participated in one of the interviews. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. Maya, tell us about the pre-interview work. What goes into that?
The first step is that we look for people to interview. So we look for people in the Champaign-Urbana community that have a story to tell about 9/11. So for this project, we have a huge variety of different stories. So we have people that were in the military, Muslim Americans, people that were in New York or Washington, D.C. during 9/11, people that were involved in anti-war protesting, and more. So we look for people that have a story to tell, and then we reach out to them, and then we meet them just to talk to them without recording it for a little while to get a sense of what their story is, and help us prepare for the actual interview, which is done by the eighth graders.
So, Simra, I understand you did one of these interviews. Who was it with, and what was that like?
So I interviewed Jeff Brown, who is the dean of the Gia School of Business. And during my interview, I must say, it was like a very out-of-body experience. I was in the moment. I was, you know, it was like a conversation, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I just felt like I learned a lot from it, which was really inspirational.
Well, we have another excerpt from that interview, so let's take a listen to that. This is his experience of just walking around in the aftermath of 9/11.
It was strange to be walking through a U.S. city or walking into your own workplace and seeing uniformed military with very large guns standing everywhere, security perimeter set up, restricted access to things that had previously been accessible to the public. But also all the priorities changed. Suddenly we were working on topics we never would have dreamed of, like building owners can no longer get insurance against terrorism risk because all the insurers walked away and now they're in technical default on their mortgages. How are we going to prevent a complete credit meltdown in the United States?
And maybe it's worth noting that he worked in the White House at the time, which is why he perhaps had a somewhat unique experience of his post 9/11 environment. But Melissa, I want to focus now on the fourth episode of the podcast, which is titled Whispering Assalamu Alaikum. I don't know that it's every organization would have chosen to dedicate an entire episode to the experience of Muslim Americans, although it was certainly a very salient part of that experience. So talk about that decision and how you came to include those voices.
Sure. So I grew up in Champaign-Urbana, and even though I lived on the East Coast when 9/11 happened, and actually the year after 9/11, I moved to Washington, D.C., where I lived for 10 years. So I also experienced post 9/11 in the nation's capital. But my mom actually lived here in Urbana, and my family is not Muslim. But I remember my mom talking to me about how one of the positive things that happened after 9/11 was how she and other members of the community got to know a lot of the Muslim community here in Champaign-Urbana, and that the mosque really opened their doors and wanted to connect with other people in the community and educate people about Islam and how they do not want to be associated with the individuals who carried out the attack. I also personally have Muslim friends, and I know how hard this event in history was for them. And so, yeah, I just knew that it had to be a part of our story. At uni, we have several students that are Muslim. We actually happen to be located just a few blocks from the mosque here in town. So during our background unit, we were able to go to the mosque and meet with the imam and learn a little bit about Islam. And I think some of my favorite interviews from the series are connected to that podcast.
Well, let's take a listen to an excerpt from one of those. This is a woman named, I believe it's Fawzia Rahman, who was a student at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign during 9/11 and an active member of the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center.
My sister in high school, when she first entered high school, a teacher told her to take off her headscarf. And my sister's like, why? And she's like, well, we have a rule. You can't wear hats in our school. And she's like, it's not a hat. She's like, you have to take it off right now or else you have to leave my class. And she's like, well, I'll just leave your class. So that's one that really sticks out in my mind quite a bit. When things would happen anywhere in the world and the news here would choose to report that, and if it happened to be a Muslim, predominantly Muslim country or sounding Muslim-like, we definitely felt it. My dad would feel it in the hospital too with colleagues, and patients would talk about it. They're like, oh, but you're not like that. You're different. You know, your people are just kind of off.
And I want to play one more clip along these lines. This is from Imad Rahman, who is a former president of the Muslim Student Association at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And he grew up as a Muslim in Springfield, Illinois, during the 1990s.
Probably, you know, 1989, I was like 10, 11 years old. I remember being called like a camel jockey, a raghead, and a sand N-word. I mean, I remember those types of words. I remember one summer, the mailman was dropping off the mail at our house. I was playing basketball in the driveway, and he kind of started talking to me. He's like, are you related to some of those people we're fighting over there?
So, Simra, I understand you're a Muslim. To the extent you're comfortable talking about it, I wonder what this project meant for you through that lens.
Yeah, so I wasn't alive during 9/11. I don't have any, like, firsthand experience with it. But my parents are Muslims, and they were in India when the attack happened. I think they were doing their master's, I think, in India. And my dad told me that he was, like, walking through his dining hall. He saw people, like, crowding on TV, and he saw, like, footage of it. So I remember him telling me that. And I think as a child, I did, like, learn about 9/11, but I never really learned about, like, the organization, the people behind it. And if I asked my parents, they would just say, oh, it was bad people that did it, because that is obviously what one would say to a child. But that obviously made me really curious about it, because if I can't know about it, obviously I want to know more about it. And this curiosity just built up for me over years. And once I was given the opportunity to, like, research 9/11, I chose to research Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. And my curiosity was satisfied. I learned a lot about it. I learned about it through different lenses. And while I was going through, like, the interviews of some people that talked about it, like Muslim people, like Fawzi Rahman and Imad Rahman, I learned about how the mosque responded to these attacks. I learned about how Islamophobia really, you know, was caused by this. And I felt really bad, but I'm glad I was given the opportunity to learn about it.
Yeah. No, it's important to tell those stories, definitely. You know, Maya, I have a question. You and Simra both lived through the COVID-19 pandemic, and I'm not sure how much you were experiencing this in your lives, but the public response here in America to that was very divided, right? People would get really angry with each other over things like whether to wear masks or whether schools should be open or closed. And Maya, I'm wondering how you compare what you've seen in the last few years about the pandemic to what you learned about how your community, Champaign-Urbana, reacted to September 11th?
I think it's interesting because it's a different experience, I guess, when you're living through something. It doesn't seem like as much of a story in some ways as when you hear stories about the past. I think... And
it's a tough question. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Or maybe, Melissa, maybe I can bring you into this and talk about, you know, from a teaching standpoint, right? There's now you have these students who've lived through this very traumatic experience for our country. And I wonder how you relate, you know, what they're going through to what we went through 20 years ago, 22 years ago.
Interesting. It's interesting hearing, actually, Maya reflect a bit on it, and I think that I do think the distance is, I think both, sorry, both the personal experience is really powerful, but then also the distance and the opportunity to reflect on your experience. I've thought about, and I know some people have done this out there in the world, about an oral history project about COVID-19, but for now I've decided to maybe put that off for a little bit longer just to get a little bit more distance from the experience. But I do think, I mean, you know, in my own lifetime, I think, you know, 9/11 and in COVID-19 are two very impactful events. And I think that certainly while these students didn't live through 9/11, I think that they have lived through an experience that has dramatically changed their lives, and that I think can at least help them recognize that there can be a moment that happens that affects everybody universally, but it does affect everybody in different ways. And so just, I guess, having the chance to both reflect and validate your own experience, but to realize that your experience isn't the only experience. It's not the only story of that event in history.
That's an excellent point. Kimberly, what do you think about this idea of oral history and whether it should be taken in the moment or whether you let some time pass before you do the interviews?
Yeah, I'm so glad they let some time pass, because we see over and over again the richness of people who were there at the moment and 22 years later can reflect on it. Jeff Brown, you know, was called to war, but then he realized, you know what? Colin Powell was wrong. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, you know, and folks here who were demonstrating to prevent that war, you know, had it right at that time, but not everyone sees everything from the same lens. And so having that reflection, having people be able to tell it to younger people, younger generations, as well as those who live through it, I think is such an important part of the story of what we can do in public media is take that longer view. And so I'm really glad this younger generation of students, with the help of Melissa and teachers before her, are able to give both the students that experience and our audiences that experience.
Well, Simra, now that you've been through an interview and preparing questions and actually talking to someone, which can be a very nerve-wracking experience, as you said, what do you think of the work of journalism and interviewing? Is it something you want to do more of?
So I actually want to go into journalism in the future. I'm an intern at the Oral History Project. I'm a part of the pre-interview team like Maya, and I'm interested in going into political journalism. I think what really sparked my interest in that was this Oral History Project, because I did get to interview somebody who was there in the moment. Like, Jeff Brown was at the White House. He experienced it firsthand. That really inspired me, and I want to be able to continue that. Yeah.
Maya, what about you? Were you bitten by the bug, or are you happy to move on to other things in life?
No, I also really enjoy interviewing people and would definitely want to do more of that and continue with similar projects. I think, it's a really different experience and really gets us to hear different perspectives and different details that wouldn't be brought up if we don't ask someone the questions and take the time to fully hear their story. And I really enjoy that. And so I would want to continue with that.
Yeah. Melissa Shepplein, only about a minute and a half remaining in our conversation. You began your teaching career, I think, the year after 9/11 in the suburbs of Washington. You had students who, this was really very close, personal, firsthand experience. Now you're teaching students halfway across the country with no experience. How do you continue to make 9/11 relevant to them?
I think that's a great question. And yeah, not just the location, but having all the time that's passed too. I think that on a regular school year, I don't do a lot with 9/11, except we happen to be teaching about the concept of worldview right now in our class. And so I do use it as a case study about worldview. And I did ask the students, you know, my eighth graders right now, how many of you have learned about it before? And some of them have learned about it in class, or they've mostly heard about it through their parents. I have my own 8-year-old son who I was telling about the project. And yeah, it is interesting. You do have to kind of slow down and think about how you present the story differently to people that have no experience with the topic compared to somebody that lived through it. So it's a challenge, but yeah, it's a compelling story. Well,
it is a compelling story, and it's a compelling podcast. It's called 800 Miles from Ground Zero, 9/11's Impact on Central Illinois, a co-production of the University Lab High School and, or at least a collaboration with Illinois Public Media, our home station. We've been talking about that with Melissa Shepplein, a teacher on the project, Kimberly Cronick, who's Director of Community Content Engagement at IPM, and two students who've worked on this, Maya Vishwanathan and Simra Khan, both students at the University High School. Thank you all so much for being with us on 9/11 to talk about this work.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.